This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth," in John 17, 17. This is Sherry Medlock, America's messenger of truth. So America, men, women, boys, and girls, it's America's family hour of worship all over America, all 50 states. Stop what you're doing and let all of America now hear the word of God. Please open your truth book, your King James Bible, to the Gospel of St. John, chapter 10, verse 17, where we left off last time. John, chapter 10, verse 17. Last time, Jesus had been telling everyone, and the phony church leaders and those true believers, that he was the good shepherd, and that eventually there would just be one shepherd and one sheepfold, because he'd come to die for the sheep, so that we could all get back into Father's sheepcote and Jesus would be our shepherd. So we pick it up with verse 17.
17, therefore doth my Father love me.
Now, you know when you hear Jesus says, because there's going to be one shepherd and one sheepfold, God loves me, you might say, isn't that a bit arrogant? No, here's what Jesus is doing. Jesus is about to go to the cross. It's just a little while. I mean, here he is, the tree of life. He always has been. He's the great I am. He's always been. He is. He always will be. And he's going to do something God never did before. He's going to die. So to encourage himself, he knows that's coming up. He's never done this before. This is Jesus' first time to die. God never died before. So he encourages himself. He said, God loves me. Father loves me. Now, Jesus was of the genealogy of King David. King David was a type of Jesus. And when King David called some of his mighty warriors, his best friends, to go to war and fight a battle, all of them left their wives and children in a place called Ziklag. When David and his mighty warrior men came back, the place had been burned down and the enemy had stolen their wives and children. So the mighty warriors and David wept and grieved until there were no more tears left in them. Then the mighty warriors, his best friend, turned on David and said, David, this is your fault. If you had not called us to war, we would have been here and protected our wives and children. So they said, let's kill David. So David was completely alone. There was no one to encourage him. And he was hurting just as much as they, for he loved his wife and he loved his children. Jesus is encouraging himself because he knows that this cross thing is going to be one more awesome thing. He's never done this before. Now, there's a twofold message here. When there's no one to pick up the phone to you and say, you know, you're doing a good job. I really admire you. I mean, under those circumstances that you even get up in the morning is beyond me. When nobody ever says, keep up the good work, when nobody ever says, you're going to make it, when nobody ever says, I know God is pleased with you, encourage yourself. How do you do it? Go to the Word of God, read it aloud, and believe it in your heart.
Because I lay down my life that I may take it again. 18, no man taketh it from me. But I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again.
Now again, Jesus continues encouraging himself. Remember, he's the Word, and Word creates. And so what he's saying is, listen, I'm the tree of life. In other words, I've always existed. That's why we call him the I Am. I am that I am. Before eternity began, he was, I am, I am, I am. He's always alive. Now, he's going to have to do something that God never did. He's going to die. So he encourages himself. He says, let's see, I'm the tree of life. I've never died. Life and death do not mix. You can't have death with life. So how do I do this? So Jesus programs himself to have the power within his God DNA to die, but if he dies and doesn't do something about resurrecting, everybody would die, because God, the Lord Jesus, is holding up the universe by his power. He's holding up the sun and moon and stars and planets and all of us. So if he died and did not come back to life, everything would die. So then he programs a way. He has to work this out, like I have to work out how to do all these things in here. He had to work out a way not only to let himself die, but to give him power to bring himself back to life again. Now, wrap that around your brain.
This commandment have I received of my Father.
In other words, Father and I, the Father and I are one. We talked about this before I came here through the Virgin Mary. We discussed this and we arranged it so that even though I, God, will die and I am life and I am not death, death and life cannot be in me, I will yet have enough power in me to arise from the dead. He had worked it all out. Wow, is God smart.
19. There was a division, therefore, among the Jews.
Now, you know the word Jews is incorrect. Iudas in the Greek. These were the Kenites, the phony, baloney, plastic, banana, good time rock and roller church leaders. I'm quoting Rush Limbaugh. And they were the phonies. And so there was a division among them. Now, they were the leaders in the temple. Now, there were some there who were the tribe of Judah. What the division was denomination. They had two denominations in the synagogue and the temple. One denomination was called the Pharisees. The Pharisees really knew the letter of the law. But the letter killeth and the spirit giveth life. But the Pharisees did believe that there was life after death. They believed in that. The other denomination, the Sadducees, very sad, because they did not believe in life after death. They thought that once you died, that was the end of you. So live it up one time around. That was their philosophy. Now, Paul says in his letters to the churches, have no schisms in the church. A schism is division or denomination. See, there's nothing in the Bible to tell us that we're to be Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran, Presbyterian, Church of Christ, Catholic, whatever. There is one body. We're the body of Christ. There is one Lord. He's Jesus Christ. There's one Holy Spirit. There's one Bible. Now you say, I know there are lots of Bible, all kind of interpretations. Interpretations are not the real thing. There are the manuscripts, Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. So see, it is man that has called us all these things, and so a house divided cannot stand. Now, don't be so concerned about that shingle or sign on your door. The main thing is, wherever you go to church, make sure it's book, chapter, verse, and line, anointed by the Holy Spirit, with a man or woman studying from the manuscripts. Then you've got it. In other words, get every word, follow along, hear it, see it, and you'll be all right.
For these sayings, verse 20, and many of them said, he hath a devil.
Other places they said, he cast out these demons by Beelzebub. Beelzebub is another one, the devil's name. He's called the Lord of Flies. Flies go to dead things, don't they?
And he's mad.
They said he's mad. You see, these phony church leaders, they said, Jesus, you are crazy. You see, what the Bible says is that anyone who does not have the mind of Christ, anyone who's lost, anyone who is not aware of the kingdom of heaven in us and about us and outside our window now, the Bible says that you are insane. See, people who can only believe what they can see and read and hear and touch, in the physical realm, they are the ones insane. But just like the phony Pharisees, they call any of us who see beyond the veil, who are aware of the large crowd of angels around us, who are aware of the heavenly host, who are aware of the move of the Spirit of God, they call us insane. And all the while, since we are spiritual beings, there's a spiritual dimension. Jesus says the kingdom is at hand. You are insane if you think that your four and no more, your puppy dog and your truck and your car, that's all there is. If you don't know there's a whole realm of spiritual activity going on, the kingdom is at hand. The kingdom is the king and his dominion. We are surrounded by so great a crowd of witnesses. Oh, hallelujah. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all around, a different dimension. So see, anyone not aware of that, then you're the one insane. There was a friend of mine. She decided she was going to use that. And so she told a friend of hers who called her, who was lost, she said, listen, friend, you are crazy. You are insane. she said, I want you to pray with me now. God, I'm insane. Make me sane and save me. Well, that might not be the best way to go after it. We might not want to try to win someone and tell them they're insane. But the truth is, you're upside down. You don't have your right mind unless you're saved. You have to have the mind of Christ. If you had the mind of Christ, you would be aware of the nuances of Holy Spirit. You'd be aware of heavenly sounds and angelic beings and, yes, even demonic forces coming in through people. You would be aware of that because that's the mind of Christ. He knows.
21. Others said, "These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind?" 22. And it was at Jerusalem the feast of the dedication.
Now, this was a man-made feast, but it was a good feast. You can read about it in Joshua chapter 23. It was called the Feast of Lights, and it was held in December. So it was a good feast. It wasn't the Feast of Passover or Pentecost or Tabernacles, but it's a good feast.
23, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch.
So Jesus is there. Jesus always goes to Father's house. If you notice that, he always goes to Father's house. Now, why is Jesus walking in the porch of the temple? Because Jesus had not yet paid the sin debt, and he was first sent to the lost tribes of the house of Israel, the lost sheep, the seed of Abraham, biological seed, because he came through that lineage. And later on, that door to the Gentiles. A Gentile is anyone who's not the true seed of Abraham. At that time, the Gentiles could come up to Solomon's porch to worship, but they could not go inside, only the seed of Abraham. Jesus had not paid the price yet to open that door. Remember, he told Peter, "I'm opening this door to the Gentiles. Now, whosoever will may come." Why is Jesus walking there? Again, Jesus, the precious building, he's about to go to the cross. And he walks and claims the territory of where the Gentiles come. Thousands and thousands over the years had come there, Gentiles, but they could not go in, but they could worship the Lord. Jesus walks on the territory of the Gentiles and takes authority and claims that territory because he knows he's going to pay the sin debt in a few days, and whosoever will may come, then all of these Gentiles may go in. See, God told Jeremiah in chapter 1, "Wherever the soles of your feet shall trod, I have given you the land. I have walked all over this school. I take authority over this. When demonic forces come and run, you can do the same thing in your home, in your workplace. Go in early, put the oil on, and claim that territory for God." For the last 8 years, my prayer warriors and I have met here on Wednesday night, and in the spirit, we have walked in our spirit in all 50 states of the United States of America, and we have claimed our territory back from the hands of the enemy, and praise God, we got it back through the election. Hallelujah. Now we've got a true seed of Abraham back in our land. So Jesus is claiming his territory. Okay? You get back that territory that was taken from you. Go and claim it back. Walk on it and claim it in Jesus' name. Now, why did Jesus go to the temple? Remember when Jesus was a boy of 12 years old, and he and Mary and Joseph and their family went in a caravan up to one of the feasts of God in Jerusalem. On the way back home, they all traveled in large family groups for safety's sake, I guess, and they realized that Jesus was not with them. So Mary and Joseph went searching for Jesus, and they found him in the temple. And Mary said, "Son, you worried us. We were so worried about you." Jesus says, "Did you not know I would be about my Father's business?" Business means house. "Didn't you know you'd find me in God's house?" Jesus goes wherever God's house is. Well, who is God? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus goes to the house that has the Word. That's why Jesus lives here. Hallelujah.
24. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, "How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly."
Now, they should have known that Isaiah said the Messiah would open the eyes of the blind, open the ears of the deaf, and would raise the dead and heal the sick and cleanse the leper. They didn't even know the word. They should have known Deuteronomy 18:15 that God would send a prophet. See, what it was with these phony church leaders, they heard the word and read it because it was their duty, but they only looked at the word. They did not believe it.
25, Jesus answered them, I told you,
he said. Where did he tell them? He told them in the Word, and he told them in his book, the Bible. Now, Jesus has already told you, everybody on the sound of my voice, dear ones, Jesus has already told you the solution to your big, big, big problem. It is written in his book somewhere. He wrote you a love letter, and he told you what to do about it. If you would do that, it would be answered. So you said, oh, yes, I know that. So you look at it. You go and visit it. You come to a place like this. You open your Bible. You look at it, and you see it. You close your Bible, and you go back, and you worry about your problem again. You did not believe. Wow. You did not believe. Because if he's given you the answer, and it's in there, Psalm 89, he does not alter the thing that goes out of his word. Jeremiah 1, he watches over his word before him, and he cannot lie. He gave you the answer, and you open it, and you what you did is you went and looked at it, but it never got into you. You did not believe it. When you find the promise, you have to settle down like a child. You don't know how, you don't know when, that's not yours to figure out. Just trust that God is able to do all things, all the impossible. Now, I hope that you're going to start believing and stop worrying. All the worrying is do is making your problem greater, because that's adding doubt, and doubt's never going to get you your solution.
And ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me.
In other words, if you don't believe what I've written in the love letter here, the Bible, the Torah, if you don't believe what I've told you, said Jesus, how about just watching my life? Jesus says you shall know them by their fruits. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. A corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit. You shall know them by their fruits. Just watch people's lives. If they're real, there's going to be fruit. We're going to talk about that in a minute.
Verse 26, but you believe not, because you are not of my sheep.
Uh-oh. Now he's going to win friends and influence people.
As I said unto you.
As I said back in John 8, he said, you are of your father, the devil. Now, he wasn't speaking in a metaphor or a figure of speech or euphemism or Hebraism. He was speaking of his sperm child, your father. Your false shepherd is the devil. When Satan beguiled Eve in the garden, Paul says beguiled, exapatio, Greek, wholly seduced, and Cain was the product, and you're the children of Cain. That's why you don't follow me, because you've got another shepherd. Remember, there are two shepherds, and there are two Christ. One is real one, the real Jesus that died on the cross. The other one is the Antichrist coming before Jesus. Do you know the difference?
27, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me.
Now, this always goes back to the world that then was, 2 Peter 3:6, the world age when Satan rebelled and drew one-third of God's children, the stars minus the flesh, with his tail, Revelation 12. The dragon is the devil there. There was a small group there that stayed true to God, and in Romans 8, God justified them, judged them, found them not guilty, predestined them, foreknew them, stayed married to them, kept their names in the Lamb's Book of Life. So see, if your name is registered in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you're the wife, God knows your name. And a true elect, when you hear the truth, you know it's the truth, and nobody can take it from you. The reason people waver and say, I don't get it, I don't get it. Well, they probably aren't the elect.
28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish.
The word perish is perdition. We know that the son of perdition is the Antichrist. Perdition means to perish. In Ezekiel 28, King Tyrus there is another name for Satan. And he is there, after about verse 20, sentenced to perdition. And that would be Hebrew, to perish from within, to walk into the lake of fire, to turn to ashes and be no more. So he says, you will not walk into that lake of fire if you believe in me. Even the Kenites can be saved. He's giving them a chance.
Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. 29, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand.
Ezekiel 13, God is prophesying of these end times. He says, I'm against those who teach my people to fly to save their souls. See, the whole world is going to reach out to the outstretched arms of the Antichrist coming back as Savior and have the body of Christ. But the elect will not. The way God has already plucked us out of the deceiver's arms is that we have met the Word, and the Word keeps us rooted and grounded so we're not deceived.
Verse 30, I and my Father are one.
If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, says Jesus.
31, then the Jews picked up stones again to stone him.
Nice people, nice church folks. Those Christians are all right. Those church folks will kill you, as my friend said.
32, Jesus answered them, many good works have I shown you from my Father. For which of these good works do you stone me?
Let's see, you're trying to kill me because I cleansed the lepers, raised the dead, fed the poor, got the blind to see, the deaf to hear. As a friend of mine said, no good deed goes unpunished.
33, the Jews answered him, saying,
these are not our brother Judah, these are the Kenites.
For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and that thou, being a man, makest thyself God.
Well, they're lying. Remember in John 8, he says, your father's a liar, and you're a liar like unto them. They don't care about that. The reason they wanted to kill him, because the sheep in the temple were following the good shepherd Jesus, and that meant that those sheep were not bringing their money in there. And see, these were shepherds of hire, these phony balonies, and they did it for the money. Follow the money trail. That's why they wanted to kill him. Don't you ever mess with a false shepherd's money. I don't ask for any money, so I'm not false. Okay, just want to put that in. But I tell you, the hireling, remember we had that teaching last week, and that's what it was. They were worried about their money.
34, Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods?
Now, you're supposed to know the Word of God. Law is the Word of God, the Torah. Don't you know in Psalm 82, verse 6, that it says, ye are gods? Now, it's not a capital G, not an uppercase. It's a little g. It means ownership. He said, you should know the scriptures, you phony baloney priesthood. You should know that in Psalm 82, it says, you are gods. Okay, God owns you.
35, if he called them gods, unto whom the Word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. 36, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent unto the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God.
You should know the scriptures. It says that you, God owns you. Can't I also say the same thing?
37, if I do not the works of my Father,
before we get there about the ownership, Ezekiel 18 says, God says, all souls are mine. See, even Satan, God created him, but he went bad. God gave him free choice. These Kenites went bad in the first earth age. You're born into what you did then. There were the three groups there. And so you're born into exactly what you deserve from that. But then you get a second chance here. They can all be saved. The fallen angels of Genesis 6 were God's children, but they forfeited that right when they came in refusing to be born from above in Genesis 6. So really, all souls belong to God, except Satan stole them. And so if they don't come back to him, then he won't own them anymore. And probably doesn't want them.
So I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. 38, but if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works.
Okay.
You may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him.
All right, he says, just look at my life and you'll see that I am the Messiah. Now, Jesus says in John 16 that Jesus is the vine, the Father is the husband, he prunes, and you, Christian, are the branch. And Jesus says, if you, the branch, if you abide in the vine, you will bear fruit. And you don't have to go, ouch, ouch, labor, labor, labor. In other words, the sap of the vine would go into the branch and fertilize it, and you couldn't help it. You would birth babies into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Now, here's how you know if one is real. Are you bearing fruit? Do you bring people to Jesus? Do you bring people to the truth? Because if you're in the vine and you're the branches, and you're at that, in the branches of the vine, you will bear fruit. You couldn't help it. God always uses the man-woman thing. The man and woman stay together long enough, there's a seed planted and a baby's going to be birthed. You understand? Okay, you say, but I don't ever bear fruit. Okay, here's what you might be doing. You might be doing like these people. You might be holding the vine in your hand, the word. You might be reading it with your eyes. You might be hearing it with your ears, but you've never plugged in. That's why we say in Christ, in Him. And see, anyone who is a true branch, you would automatically bear fruit. You know why? Because you couldn't help it. You would have this seed in you, and you would sow in the morning, you would sow in the noontide, you would sow in the evening, day after day after day after day. As the Bible says, you sow in the morning, you sow in the evening. One or the other would bear fruit. So if you were perpetually sowing, which you could not help but do, because you would forever be pregnant with the vine in you, He'd be fertilizing you and causing that embryo fruit to come through you, sooner or later you would have the baby, you would birth someone in the kingdom. So see, you say, I don't do that. That's because you don't sow the seeds, but you might not have plugged in. You might be looking at the vine, hearing the vine, touching the vine, seeing the vine. But have you gotten in? You have to go in, and He in you. And then that fertility comes, and everywhere you go, you drop a seed, and one or the other will grow. You would have to bear fruit.
Amen. 39, therefore they sought again to take Him, but He escaped out of their hand.
He became invisible again. I love that. Superman goes into the closet, the telephone booth, and comes out. Boom.
40, and He went away again beyond Jordan, into the place where John had first baptized.
Jesus, the pressure's rising now. He's just been through all of this. And He continues to encourage Himself. He goes back to where He first was water baptized, when He came up out of the water, and a dove, the Holy Spirit, sat upon Him, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my well-beloved Son. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." He goes back to when He first heard the calling. That was when He began His ministry at the age of 30 years old. Remember, then we started that. He didn't start until then. When you're discouraged, when nobody's encouraging you, when there's no way and it all looks lost, go back in your mind to that moment, that place, that time when God spoke to you and said, "I am calling you. You are chosen, called, and elected." If you're the elect, somewhere that happened to you, go back to that, and that will encourage you. Jesus did, and He's the way sure.
41, and many resorted unto Him and said, "John did no miracles, but all things that John spake of this man were true." 42, and many believed on Him there.
Now see, John's seed caused those people to believe. Praise the Lord. He's the good shepherd. We are the sheep. I pray you're bearing fruit. If not, connect. Get the connection going there. Start dropping the seeds every day and one or the other. Sooner or later, they will grow. We'll begin right there next week. But right now, it's time for Mystery Moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God, the sacred secret. My twin friend, Scott Merson, and his sweet family are away for a few days of well-deserved rest at their lake home. So I'll be doing the questions today. Question number one, dear Sherry Trumpet, in Leviticus 14:3, it talks about birds. Will you please explain? Yes, this was a type of Jesus paying our sin debt, and it was supposed to be the cure for leprosy. In those times, they thought leprosy was sin, that you had it because of sin. So leprosy was a type of sin. And the way they would go to the priest, the high priest there, and he would take two birds. He would kill one of the birds and put the dead bird's blood in a basin. Then he would take the live bird and dip the live bird in that blood. And then after a period of time, he would let the live blood go free. And it was a type that Jesus would come and die for our sins to wash away the leprosy, the sin in us. And then we may dip our sins, dirty sins, in the red blood of Jesus, and we may go free. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? Question number two, Isaiah 11, verse 10. Please explain the ensign and the Gentiles. Yes, it's a prophecy that God would lift up an ensign to whom the Gentiles would see. An ensign means a sign, and the sign was that a virgin would conceive and bear a son, and that would be Jesus. Now, we learned today that Gentiles are all of anyone who's not of the seed of Abraham, and so Jesus would come, and then after He paid the sin debt, Solomon's porch would be open to them, whosoever will may come, one sheepfold and one shepherd. Dear Sherry Trumpet, in Genesis 6, who are those sons of God? Those sons of God, remember that Jesus says you are gods? Those were the fallen angels that are called Nephilim. They were the sons of God. He owned them, but they forfeited that right by coming in, refusing to be born from above of woman, and they came in their angelic form and married the beautiful daughters of Eph-Adam to thwart the seed line through whom Jesus would come, and they produced the giants. But they were the fallen angels. One more question here. Sherry, the Revelation keeps talking about the dragon. Who is the dragon? Well, Revelation 12, round about verse 7, and Revelation 20, verse 2, it's the devil. He has play actor names. He's called Serpent, Dragon, Devil, Satan. Ezekiel 28, he's Tyrus. Isaiah 14, he's Lucifer. He's coming back as Christ, Messiah, but he's the Antichrist. Why, he even goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Have you noticed he uses beasts that we're afraid of so he'll scare us? He called himself a serpent. That wasn't a serpent in the garden. That was an analogy. That was Satan. Revelation 20, verse 2, that old serpent who is the devil. Read it, read it, read it. And he calls himself a serpent. Aren't you scared of snakes? I am. He calls himself a dragon. Oh, the fire would come out. Okay, how about he calls himself a lion? Okay, so there he is. Now, I want all of you who are not saved. By the way, Scott will be back next week and also with his new segment, Scott Stuff. And so we appreciate that. That'll be very good. And now, all of you who are not saved, please pray this prayer with me and come and live with me back in the Father's sheepfold for all eternity. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with
the Holy Spirit. Wash away all my sins.
Wash away all of my sins.
With the blood of Jesus.
With the blood of Jesus.
Save me.
Save me.
Grow me in the Word.
Grow me in the Word.
And use me to enlarge your sheepfold.
To enlarge your sheepfold.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. In a few minutes, my announcer will give you my telephone number. I invite you to call and let me know that you were saved. Also, feel free to call and leave your questions. By the way, my phone works now, so thank the Lord for that. And leave prayer requests and so forth. Now, let me pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, I ask, O Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings. I speak to throats and vocal cords and lungs, that all congestion be gone now and clear up, that the Holy Rock breathe and that thyroids work right. Fever be gone in Jesus' mighty name. Pain be gone in Jesus' name. Vertebrae right on down from the brainstem right on down to the pelvis area. Vertebrae be healed. Unpinched muscles and nerves be healed. Diabetic nerve pain be healed, be gone. Nerves be made normal in Jesus' name. I see, ears hear, legs walk, hearts beat with the rhythm of God. Pain be gone. In the name of Jesus, pick up your bed and walk. He sent his word and healed you. He is the Lord who healeth you. Yahweh Rapha, the God who heals. With Jesus' stripes you are healed. Praise the Lord. We give God the glory. And so, if you got your miracle there, feel free to call that also. Don't forget that we do offer healing over here after our services, so feel free to come and partake of that great blessing. We are not the healers, but we have the anointing. We do that. Well, it's time now for my love line of the week, from my heart to your heart. Have you been disappointed? If you will connect to the vine and obey the vine, the Lord will turn your disappointment into divine destiny appointment. See, Romans 8 says, all things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. He'll turn your disappointment into a divine destiny appointment. I invite all of you to come to my school each Sunday, 5 p.m., and each Wednesday, Prayer Warriors, especially on Wednesday, 6:30 p.m., we have the word both times. Now, remember this about Yeshua Jesus. His name is called the Word of God, and Jesus said in John 17, 17, thy word is truth. Now, this truth was not given you to keep. You heard it there. If you abide in the vine, you go and sow. Tell people about Trumpet of Truth, bring them in, get them to the radio, but sow the seeds. Listen to people's heart and you'll know what to sow. Just love them and listen to their heart. Wait for my announcer now, and please call me. Call me and leave your prayer request or your comments. Now, all of you, I love you, and God bless you. Until next time, this is Sherry Medlock in Jesus' Truth with Love.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
No. of Christ for you. And may peace rain down from heaven, like little pieces of the sky, like the little keepers of the promise, falling on these souls that drown as dry. Blood and in his body, in this bread and in his wine. Peace of Christ to you. Peace to you. Peace of Christ to you.
Climb out of this boat of men, under the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone, into the realm of the unknown, where Jesus is, and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name, and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I've tried before and failed. Waves they keep on telling me, time and time again, boy, you never win. You never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says, this is for my glory. Choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. Oh, what I would do to have the kind of strength it takes to stand before a giant with just a sling and a stone. Surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors, shaking in their armor, wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. But the giant's calling out my name, and he laughs at me, reminding me of all the times I've tried before and failed. The giant keeps on telling me, time and time again, never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says, this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to live.
But the stone was just the right size to put the giant on the ground. And the waves, they don't seem so high. On top of them, looking back.
afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe. I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. Listen and believe the voice of truth. I will listen and believe, 'cause Jesus, you are the voice of truth. And I will listen to
are your dreams. how precious to me. How precious to me. How precious to me.
You are listening to WMIE, Bavard's home for the very best in contemporary modern praise and worship music. 91.5 FM.
My heart is bare. I've been looking everywhere for truth. Inside.